You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent Magazine, proud to bring you a new episode of our podcast. This time, we were lucky enough to have Chris Hanley from First National in Byron Bay in to coach our Transform Masters crew. With about 40% market share in his area, Chris's business is the leading First National business across Australia and New Zealand, and they've held that position for close to 25 years. A topic close to Chris's heart and one of the keys to the longevity and success of his business is the ability to put down deep and solid roots in the community. Chris explains how to give when you're just starting up, where real estate businesses can really add value to both other businesses and the community, and why giving to give works, but giving to get does not. There are many, many takeaways in this session with Chris. I hope you enjoy it as much as we did.
Transform Masters 2017 is brought to you by Elite Agent with thanks to Property Tree, realestate.com.au and Real Plus.
What we do here and have done for many years is to communicate with a very large database, and we do it on a weekly basis. Mixed in that database are landlords, potential landlords, tenants, buyers, sellers, and we don't categorise people. One of the prevailing theories in real estate is that you categorise people A's, B's and C's and 1, 2's and 3's. That's too complicated for me. I decided years ago to get rid of that system. So what we do every week here is we communicate with 14 to 15,000 people every Friday morning. We send them out a communication on a communication platform. We communicate with them on all sorts of different levels so they can pick and choose the information from that communication. Every week, there's things in there for landlords, things in there for buyers, things in there for sellers, things in there for people who like cultural activities. There's people who like photography, and this platform goes out every week. And what we've found in the last 4 or 5 years, that particular platform that we control ourselves, that involves us in about 2 or 3 hours of work every week, that single communication platform enables us to make people smarter, to build up trust in the community, and we get called in often or most of the time in order to give presentations. Good works is the motto of the St. Vincent de Paul Society, and a bunch of years ago I was in a taxi in Cleveland Street in the rain, running late to catch a flight, and I looked out the taxi window and I saw this faded motto up on a wall. It was painted, but it had been painted 50 or 60 years before. It was just the rain had meant that the motto was, I could see it on the old bricks, the old sandstone bricks. And I thought, yeah, good works. If you Google it, it's biblical and it's from the Catholic religion, but when I saw it, for me, maybe that was a decade ago, that clearly enunciated the model that we'd been practicing or using in our business. But from that time on, I probably more clearly understood the model or the type of business that we'd built. And I guess being a principal as long as I have, I can give you the evidence that good works. We all choose our own models. There's the Jetstar and Qantas model, and they're totally different. We just choose this model. So in essence, what we do and what we continue to do is take money from all the sales we make. We've done this for more than 20 years, and we put some of it back into the community. I would rather spend the money or part of our profit that way than I would spend it on all sorts of other things that agents spend their money on. From our point of view, it works really well. It means that the staff become engaged with some of the projects. Last week in the local newspapers here, we've partnered with an organisation here called the Liberation Larder, which in effect is a volunteer organisation that feeds homeless people, and it's not far from our office. Out of each sale, we give them some money. We also share all these social media feeds, and we give them a regular, if you like, lift within the community by publicising them through our database. A lot of community groups use our database, and we are very careful about who uses it. But if there's good things happening within our community, they come to us and they get us through our database to lift their organisation or their event, which we do regularly. People now have been educated, our community. I hate the word database, by the way. I think, like so many words in real estate, we've got the language wrong. Real estate is one long language game, and I think we've got all the words wrong. Like prospecting, if you say that word to a lot of people in our industry, they become anxious about it or guilty. Prospecting is just talking to people. So there's all these words that need to be changed. You know, people often say, well, how big's your database? A database to me is an old term, a static term from years ago. It's like a shoebox. It's just got something in it, but it doesn't do anything. Whereas if you use the word community, that's how we view it. So I guess what I'm saying there is our community that we communicate with regularly each week has become used to us talking to them, not in a real estate way, but in a community way. And we've been doing it for so long, it means that they often speak differently to us. So when we're out listing property or when we're out talking to new landlords, it's very common for things that the company's done in the community to be part of the reason we got called in, and also help us often get a more reasonable fee for the services that we provide. We raise a lot of money too, and I don't know whether you guys probably all do this, but just in case you don't. We do it in all sorts of different ways. We take money off sales. We put on events in the community. We sponsor a truckload of things. My part of the world up here is blessed with lots of festivals and lots of cultural activities, so we contribute to those. The next big one that's on here is the Mullumbimby Music Festival, run by a friend of mine. It's just, I think it's its 10th year. It's one of the best music festivals in the country. It's a quiet one, but it's a great one. But all the major festivals we've sponsored over the years. We do a lot of work with kids and the schools. We went through a period of a couple of years where we bought electronic blackboards, those things that basically are giant computers for the local schools. We do the youth service up here. We put a lot of money. I can hear some of you thinking, how does that all work? And do you make a lot of noise about it? The answer is no. People have a view of us that's, when I say us, our profession, that we do stuff in order to reap a reward. There's two ways to give. You either give to get or you give to give. My view is that if you do the latter, if you give to give without making a lot of noise, public's pretty smart. They seem to work out what you're about. But if you give to get and you're always in the paper with your picture being taken, to me that doesn't sit so well, and I guess it's why people feel the way they do about real estate agents. You get a choice when you set up any business, not just real estate. And the choice is you sit on the edge of your community, right around the edge, and you've got a model, I don't want to be crude, but it's a parasitic model, where you attach yourself to a community and you make as much money as you can, and you drive home each night congratulating yourself, or you have a model where you sit in the middle of your community, you become part of the community, and you use your skills, which I'll talk about in a minute, to help the community. Real estate agents, real estate people are really, they're like all-rounders in a cricket game. We've got all these really interesting skills and talents that other people don't have. We know everybody, which is a biggie. We're really good at fixing stuff. That's what we do. We're good negotiators. We're good at following up. We're good at making things happen quickly because that's the business we're in. And most importantly, we're really good, really, really good at recovering when someone says no to us, because in effect, that's what we do every day. We're in the no business. Now, a lot of people you meet in community organizations, they're no good at any of that stuff. And by the way, we're really good at asking for money. which most people in community organisations aren't any good at, because that's what we do as well. The point I'm making is we've got all these skills that people in the community need. And every opportunity you get as a real estate person to act in a non-real estate way in your community, there's a multiplier. So I do a lot of community work. I have for 25 years. I run community organisations. I chair meetings. I chair public meetings. I sit at the local council. I consult to the council and the state government. At the moment, we're trying to save the old Byron Bay Hospital here in the town, which is a program I took on about 6 months ago, where I'm dealing with the ministers and with premiers and all sorts of stuff to try and keep this hospital. Now, I'm not qualified to do any of that. You know, I don't have any formal qualifications in pretty well anything I do every day. That's the point I'm making. You don't need any. We're used to cold calling. We're used to ringing people up and saying, can I help you? We're used to getting a bunch of people together. We're used to doing things quickly. We're used to, as I said, asking for money, all of which has helped me in the community things that I've been involved in for the last 20 years. There's another area here that I want to talk about too, is that I mentor and have done for the last 20 years many local business people. Not so much my rivals in real estate, because even though some of them, believe it or not, come down here asking to be mentored, which is quite interesting. And when your competitors wander in some days or ring you up and ask for some help and advice. But I mentor a lot of local businesses. And if you are in your area and you've got some good business skills, you need to remember that growing your business is usually about partnering with other businesses. So if you're a young boss and your organisation is doing well, but you want to grow, then one of the ways that you can do good work in your community is to help other businesses grow, and you grow together. A very good friend of mine, he's an accountant. He and I started off in business together, and he was my accountant, but he was also my friend, and we did some business together. But he grew his business over 20 years in partnership with mine in lots of respects. And he, when he retired a couple of years ago, he had a monstrous, huge business, and we had cooperated for 20 years together. So the point I'm making there is, in your own community, you should have a group of people around you who are similar ages, similar ambitions, and you want to write this one down, similar values. You'll never grow a business unless your staff have the same values as you, but you'll never grow in your community unless the values of the other people are the same. But he and I did this for more than 20 years together, and he grew his business. And we partnered, we shared, we gave information to each other, and we were able over a period of time to help each other grow our businesses. When you start out, when you're young, the most important thing to remember is that you usually don't have any money. So what you give in the early years is toil. Later on, when you get some money, you give toil plus money. But the mistake that a lot of people make is, once they start to be successful, they stop giving the toil and they just give the check. That's a mistake. The toil, whether it's a sausage sizzle, or whether it's going to committee meetings, or whether it's, I don't know, giving out pamphlets, whether it's think tanks, whether it's fundraisers, whatever it is, the toil's the most important bit, because the toil's where people get to see you acting as a community member, as a good human being, as opposed to a real estate agent who's just in there trying to argue strenuously to get a commission, to get a sale, to get a listing, or to get a new management. I'm often asked a question about the staff in the business. And I've run a not-for-profit organisation that I retired from last year that had 200 volunteers and maybe 20-odd full-time employees. So for 20 years, I ran two organisations, a real estate agency and a not-for-profit. And what I learnt during those years is invaluable in both. I learnt things in the not-for-profit that I used over here in real estate. In the not-for-profit, most of the people were volunteers, and you can't sack volunteers, which is interesting. So you've got to learn a way to motivate them and keep them happy. And the answer there is build a great culture. In real estate, it's exactly the same thing. You want to build a great business in real estate. The biggest multiplier, which is invisible, the glue that keeps the business together, is care and the culture. You will not ever build any great organization ever without lots of care and without a great culture. But at the end of the day, the most important things in both types of organizations is that you have to have a place that's safe. You have to be transparent and it has to be safe. And your community in general is exactly the same. If you run a transparent real estate model, transparent business model, and you're that way with your clients and your customers, your business will grow. If you don't run that sort of model, your business won't grow. There's a word that's used a lot now in politics, sustainability. In real estate, we're not taught to build sustainable businesses. In none of the major franchises that I'm aware of, is there even a section in any of the documents you sign when you join up or in any of the training about culture. Culture's invisible in most places, but what to me is bizarre is the fact that the single most important ingredient, the single most important ingredient in the sustainability of a business, in the profitability of a business, in the share price, whether it's a listed company, the single most important ingredient is culture. And in our industry, there's no cultural training, no cultural leadership. It's not even mentioned in most of the organizations when you join and decide to pay the fees. The point I'm making is if you want to build a sustainable business, long-term, that's profitable, good works, but you also have to focus on care and building a fabulous culture within your organization as well. I'm guessing most of you already know that. The interesting thing is it's not the what that you have to focus on, it's the why and the how. So when you go to a lot of conferences and a lot of leadership training courses, they're all about the what you need to do. And while that's helpful, you should always start further back. You start with why. Why do you need to build a culture that's strong? Why do you need to do good things in the community? Why do you need to build a community? And then it's the how. And the hardest thing to train or coach people on when you're a coach or a trainer is this bit, the how. Why is tough, but most people work out their why. Everyone gets lost in the how. How do I, for example, inspire my staff to get involved in community work? The short answer is they follow you. That's the short answer. And leadership is example. So if they see you involved in community work, what happens in an organization, particularly with the millennials, Gen Y and Gen X, what I find with the millennials and Gen Y and Gen X is that they're very powerful, very easy to inspire, very genuine in wanting to get involved in good things within a community, but they need to be led, inspired, or enabled is probably a better word, by the leadership group in the company so they can get involved. I've heard people suggest that that's not the case. Well, my experience is the opposite. My experience is young people today really, really want to be involved in good things. They want to get out in the community and do good stuff. They'll give of their time. Quite a few of the people in the business here are involved in volunteering and involved in their own passions and put back into the community. But here's the deal, you can't mandate it. You can't, when you've got a business, say to everyone, you must give up your after hours, you must give up time to do these things. They've got to want to do it. And if they don't want to do it, then you're either asking them the wrong way or showing them the wrong way, or maybe you've chosen the wrong cause or the wrong charity or the wrong idea and they're not engaged with it. So if you've got a business and you're not involved in doing anything in your community, then start with asking people within your organization what they'd like to be involved in, what they're inspired by, what they think your community is lacking. And you start small too. You don't need to do any great big, large, grand plan. You can do something really small. You know, you can contribute, you can pick one school, you can sponsor the small events and you can build up from there. I think just one other factor that's very prominent when or important when you're involved in your local community is to always be congratulating people on things. One of the very old-fashioned thing I did for years around here, and I've still got a desk, a drawer full of them, is cards. Thank you cards, congratulation cards. And there's all these people in your community that don't get any congratulations. They're in invisible professions, whether they're nurses or teachers or doctors or people that do good work, but for some reason or other, they're not rock stars or musicians or real estate agents. You know, they don't get their name up in lights. So what I've done over the years, I spend a fair bit of time finding those people and writing them little notes. And it's amazing the effect when you're a teacher, for example, and you teach the local high school English class who get really good marks, or the art teacher and so on. It's amazing what a letter or a little card to those people will do over the years. And I read the letters to the editor each week in the newspaper, and I'm connected to the schools and I know people. And over the years, people know I'm interested in education, so they often send me little pieces of information. And that's the wonderful thing about modern communication, text messaging and all of those things. I often ask people to give me someone's mobile number and I'll just send them a text. It might be a teacher, but it could be one of the kids who's done really well in the local community. The bottom line is, with all these little things, they add up and they build or strengthen your involvement, your trust in your community, and from that, people find their way to your business and you get opportunities and get into people's lounge rooms. I think probably everybody out there knows that.
Well, that's it for this week. And remember, we're delighted to have Chris along at our event, How to Lead a Winning Team in 2018, where we will be announcing the winner of Transform Masters. Catch you again soon for some more insights from the series. To keep up with all the latest information, visit eliteagent.com.au/transform. I'm Samantha McLean. Catch you all soon.
Transform Masters 2017 is brought to you by Elite Agent, with thanks to Property Tree, realestate.com.au and Real Plus. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.